This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It's hour five of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Another big day in the world of sports as we have Fan After Dark coming up from 7 to 7.30 and then Rangers baseball pregame at 7.30 with the first pitch shortly after 8 o'clock. They'll take on the Guardians this evening. And as you heard from Jared Sandler, it's exciting because as you get to this point in spring training, well past the halfway point, you're looking at a lot more of the regular guys, not only starting, but staying in for the majority of the game as they attempt to get super sharp. Still looking at Jacob deGrom next Monday night out there at the Globe. That should be a lot of fun as they play exhibition games back here in DFW right before the season is underway. And that should be one of the highest attended exhibition games, I think, in Texas Rangers history.
Yeah, dude, especially because we just haven't gotten enough DeGrom in our lives.
No.
You know, he's been here for 2 years, and most people are like, yeah, I barely even gotten to watch him at all.
I think this could be a special season for the Rangers, and you want to soak up as much of that as humanly possible, even in a preseason meaningless game. Here's Eric with a trip around the bases, though.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. All right, 877-881-1053. We're going to hear from Jack Leiter in just a second and maybe flesh out a little bit more why they view him the way they do as a starting pitcher before they try to migrate him into the bullpen or in a closing role. I think they're going to want to squeeze all the juice out of Jack Leiter and give him every opportunity to show that he's got the consistency to be a starting rotation type pitcher. We'll get to that here in a second. But I did want to read you from Evan Grant's latest article on the Corbin signing.
Yeah.
Veteran lefty, super, super cheap. And the Rangers just need some bodies right now that can eat some innings. And he's got some quotes in here from Chris Young. So here's what Chris Young has to say about Corbin. Young acknowledged the poor performance, but also said the Rangers had noted some changes to his pitch usage over the second half of last season with Washington.
Oh, they're good at this.
And that indicated the potential for a bounce back season, and Corbin started using his cutter with more frequency to right-handers. Now, from May 1st through the end of the season, save for one awful three-inning, 10-run outing, so it can go haywire on him in a spot, outside of that disaster game from May 1st through the end of the season, he was 4.82 ERA.
Solid.
More importantly, he pitched into the sixth inning or later in 22 of his 32 starts.
Wow.
In 2024.
Okay.
So a guy that can really eat those innings. It says soaking up those kinds of innings may take a huge burden off of the Rangers' middle relievers, who may have to back up innings limited Jacob DeGrom and Tyler Mahle. There's also the possibility that either Jack Leiter or Kumar Rocker will fill out the rotation, and the Rangers will need relief for protection for them as well.
Yeah. Yeah, the Rangers are really good at figuring out how you should sequence your pitches and what pitches you should be throwing more or less of, and giving guys a game plan that doesn't even require them to improve the actual pitches themselves. So, you know, I know that was a big key for Rosario, their pitcher out of Miami, who unfortunately had the Tommy John, but among the reasons they're really excited about his future is that exactly.
And the John Gray update, if you missed it, Rangers received good news from a wrist specialist. No surgery or plates needed. Mm. So the Rangers hope that John Gray will be back sometime in June. The initial fear was post-trade deadline.
Yeah. Yeah, I like what Jared had to say there, that, you know, this significantly reduces the worst-case scenario. You know, when you're talking about John Gray there, it's nice to have the kind of depth they do, but they don't really want to rely on it, especially with how rough Rocker looked. But I also liked how Jared was talking about one of the keys with Corbin. Just go six innings, and if you give up four or five runs again, we're going to have the plans to have the kind of offense that can get you a double a lot of days.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And hopefully the lineup's ready to come and play this year. And I think for a lot of guys, just having a normal offseason, bouncing back from the World Series, short offseason, especially for a guy like Marcus Semien. But Seager being healthy, Langford doing his thing, Adolis is now starting to get going, Peterson and Berger with the dong stuff, and then Higashioka's been awesome. I mean, God help you if you get a Jonah Heim turn back the clock year and he can get back to 2023 version of himself, because he was unbelievable. So the Rangers are in a good spot right now. Here was Jack Leiter with Hannah Wing on his added sinker pitch.
It just seems like the trend. Obviously, hitters are really good at hitting fastballs now, and it doesn't really matter how hard you throw. If they have a good idea it's coming, they're going to hit it hard a lot of the time. So a lot of pitchers are starting to create more deception with an extra fastball, sometimes two with a cutter. So just understanding that it's making the hitter's job a little bit harder when you have other fastballs moving in different ways.
Now, his gas is undeniable, but obviously you got to have more of a repertoire. And he's a guy that, you know, the four seam, the slider, and the curve were there. He started implementing the sinker and working on it last year, and now he's gotten to the point where he's pretty confident in it. And then you add on the fact that this offseason he started to add the changeup dimension to his repertoire. So now you're talking about a pitcher who has potentially five legit pitches in his arsenal. And so I think that's part of the reason why they still look at Jack Leiter as being a guy who can be a starter, as long as he can get through, you know, the lineup more than two times. You know, can you get it to five or six innings? That's something that is still sort of remains to be seen, and hopefully he shows that over the course of the first month or so of the season, that he's a guy that has that type of ability to withstand five innings as a starter. But I think that's why if he was only a two pitch kind of guy, and he couldn't graduate to pitches three, four, and five, then it'd be like, okay, we'll go ahead, like, gas like that. We'll put you, maybe it is as a closer or just a reliever in some way. But the idea that this is a guy that potentially has five legit pitches that he's confident in, they want to make sure that they give him every chance possible to be a starter before pushing him into the pen.
It's amazing how many different pitches these guys can learn, you know?
Yeah.
And I think you should continue to be excited and optimistic about Jack Leiter, but I think this is also going to be a work in progress, you know, because that also shows that he's at the point in his career where it's maybe about adding pitches and experimenting with stuff and seeing what works. And I'm expecting still an up and down ride here from Jack Leiter as we move through this year. I hope the good times are super high and, you know, sustained as long as possible.
Yeah, that's the hope right now, and I think a lot of it is just going to be having to trust the process here at the start of the season.
Okay, I need you to trust me on this nickname. I've been workshopping a little bit, you know, just been working on names. I think the work we did last year with Bang Bang is starting to mature.
It is,
okay,
yeah,
and maybe it was slowed down a little bit by his lack of a breakout rookie year, but by the end of the year, it's on the way anyway. With Higashioka, how about Gash? G-A-S-H. It's in the middle of his name because he really gashes the ball. You know, we saw that.
Okay.
Yeah. We saw that firsthand and surprised the way he gashes that thing. Lucius, why are you looking at me like that? He's get him, Gash.
He's a Gash man.
Gash, exactly.
I do like it better than what I've been hearing. Everybody just calls him Higgy.
See? Yeah, I heard that too. I thought, man, that's kind of weird.
Like, Miggy worked. Miguel Cabrera, no one batted an eye at that.
Higgy.
Calling this guy Higgy is...
Higgy or Gash.
I think everybody wants, more Gash than Higgy.
I'm a Gash man.
Yeah.
Myself.
I thought it'd be a name that he would, like to hear called
Broadus
out.
Is laughing you off the stage right now.
It's fine. That's why I wanted to be in the trust tree. That's why I asked for that. I appreciate you respecting that.
Well, because I can identify with the guy who's trying to be an idea man. We're cranking out menu items.
Let's go around the room and vote. Lucius, what do you say?
Just hit me that fat ass.
I'm 1-for-2 now is what I've learned here on my Ranger nicknames.
Well, and how long did it take for Bang Bang to really take off? I mean, you never really know.
That was awesome.
At least 370 days.
That one was good. That Gash, I don't know.
Gash is crazy,
That's
bro.
Crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Look at his name, Gashioka.
Dude named Gash, I'm keeping you away from my gal for sure, bro. Yeah. Hanging out with Gash? Damn.
Damn. Yeah.
Damn.
It's like Flash, but it's Gash.
Yeah, and
Gash got me again, bro.
I mean, and I think from a pronunciation standpoint, is it more Gosh?
Gashioka, you're right. You're right.
Higashioka.
Yeah. Forget about it.
I don't want to forget about it. I want to remember this forever.
Gash is hilarious, bro.
I'm still waiting for an opportunity to mention to Eric Nadel. It needs to be when it's a 3-run Jock Peterson, it needs to be a Jimmy Jock.
A Jimmy Jock, yes.
So hopefully
you need to bring up the. I think you need to bring up the nickname to Eric. See what he says.
Don't bring it up to Jared because he will. Jared will just really make you feel really small.
You can't trust him, you know.
Well, we're still workshopping. He's one of our newest Rangers. I still like it better than Higgy.
Yeah,
there's something about Higgy that just doesn't. I don't know. I feel like there's more that we can do with this.
The trust tree.
Apparently, 469 is alleging that Gash means the P word.
Wow. Yeah. That's crazy.
Who said that?
What?
That's unknown.
Must have been from a different era.
Yeah.
So 469.
Yeah.
Urban Dictionary.
Text in some more details on that because we would like to confirm that before we run with Gash. Another person texting in, like, what, Dawson? It's not a bad idea. Tango and Gash was one of my favorite movies of all time. I actually put that one on Blake's radar.
Thank you.
As a movie he needs to watch, Tango and Gash.
The dude with the big old chin.
The most un-KO-able chin in the history of human beings. Oh my gosh, the amount of juice that guy was on. It's like was he injecting it into his own face? One of the most unique individuals in cinematic history. Good movie, though. My parents told us about that movie years ago. I think we were at a Golden Corral. My dad was like, hey, it just popped in my head. We need to watch this. We went home. We watched it. He was right.
I love how it started in the Golden Corral.
It did, bro.
To Tango and Cash, bro. So American.
Just feet away from the smoking section at Golden Corral. I was polishing off plate number 9. I was 12 years old.
Somebody said, quick Gash lighting him. That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, the meaning of words evolves over time. And that might be your truth, but it's not mine.
Oh, man. I wonder what Brian Gashman would have to say about this with the Yankees. It is, I guess, an Urban Dictionary thing with the Gash.
I don't believe that.
Very slang.
I don't believe that.
Now, we did have a rookie hazing situation here with the Red Sox. Two Red Sox rookies forced to buy and deliver 76 different coffee orders in one single trip.
Facilities. That's a hazing right there. We're done for the year if I pull that one off.
76, and I'm guessing most of these are hot coffees.
Yeah, coming back lukewarm.
How many different trips do you even have to take to pull that off? You putting that in the bed of the truck? The spill factor is so heavy and high.
I've seen
on
how
that.
They've done this. They remember those golf carts and stuff that we walk by when we're going to the parking lot?
Yeah.
They take a couple of those. And you have them with the bed in the back, and they have them all stacked up.
you saw a coffee run get made in Surprise.
That's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, but you're having to take it from the restaurant. You're not taking the golf cart to the drive-thru.
They're driving the cart to the restaurant or to the coffee place.
Load them up.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather get like a couple of employees in house right there, maybe in the clubhouse itself with a nice barista stand. You know, we can definitely get this pimped out with the kind of salaries that we got in this room.
Yeah, that's right, dude. Happen.
If you're a DeGrom, if you're a Seeger, and you're a coffee guy, we're going to go ahead and get this thing dialed up right here.
You're paying a couple of grand to have them come in and set up a coffee thing for you?
Yeah, or maybe, there's a local coffee truck, like a food truck that can pull up right outside there.
I wonder if there is such a is there a thing called, is there a coffee truck?
I think so.
I know I like what you're doing with the food truck idea.
Yeah.
Coffee truck. I've seen like fraternity houses. I've seen him pull up a keg truck with the taps on the side of the truck, like four on each side. And they have all the kegs and you just rent the truck. And that's with all these fraternity houses.
It's quite dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a Traveling Tom's Coffee of East Plano.
All right.
So there's a couple here in DFW making the rounds.
Yeah. There's some good coffee trucks.
I've never seen a coffee truck. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. We've
never
had
a cup in my life.
Oh, that's true. You're not a coffee guy, so this wouldn't be on your radar at all.
Not at all.
Well, I would definitely at least bring my own Keurig if I'm in spring training and we're having to do that. I got to wait a long time. I got to wait through this whole annoying.
I got to trust that you're getting the order right, that you're not going to spill it. It's not going to get, like you mentioned, the lukewarm factor.
There's no service being provided there. Just annoying waiting.
And just trying to aggravate and annoy the two rookies, which is probably worth the price of admission.
Well, now that you mentioned that, there is some value.
Okay, I do want to close it down with some college baseball here. Just remember yesterday we had the Michigan player that snorted the third baseline after a triple, and by way of celebration, he just went and did a chalk snort. Pretty ridiculous. Execution was amazing, but the cocaine going mainstream is still a little bit jarring.
Yeah.
So his name is Mitch Voigt. He's now had to come out and do the Notes app apology.
Oh, jeez.
Tried and true.
Oh, yeah. No.
The athletic department make him do that?
You have to imagine
my rant.
Mom and dad maybe kicking you in the rear end on this one. And then, yes, the program.
I mean, the church back home. I mean, you've embarrassed a lot of people.
You've embarrassed a lot of folks. Yeah. So Mitch Voigt, the culprit here, has taken to the Notes app and posted it online. He said, I would like to apologize for my actions on third base yesterday. I made an immature decision in the heat of the moment. The gesture I made does not reflect my character, the household I was raised in, or the block M that I represent in any kind of way. I take full responsibility for what I did, and I'm truly sorry to all those who I have negatively impacted by doing the chalk snort.
Did he finish with Go Blue?
No, I was waiting for that, but he didn't.
No Go Blue? Then this is not real.
Didn't he also say I couldn't help myself after I gashed that ball off the wall?
Yeah. Getting a lot of gash texts coming up in here.
Thank you, Chief.
Gash Money Records.
It is the G-Bag Nation's proper round tripper every night at 6 o'clock here on The Fan. We got some more college sports to talk about in the form of college hoops coming up, Eric. Isn't that right?
Yeah, we have a Waffle House recruiting technique. We have Kentucky gas money and wings and beer this time of year. It is on fire next year in the nation.
Yeah, buddy. Welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on a Toxic Tuesday evening on The Fan. Segment's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Franklin Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. It's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. A March Madness hodgepodge here, Chief.
Let's do it. But first, we have to acknowledge the 469 having your back here, Dawson, saying, hey, I used to dine and gash all the time in high school.
Favorite pastime.
We have a Lyft driver in the 682 that says they would not even be able to work if it wasn't for their gash cam.
we have police officers that listen to our show, right?
I believe we have one or two.
I hope they listen.
Come on, bro.
I think that's a heavy listenership, man.
No. I was just curious because last night I was in Little Elm, and I was driving around, and I got pulled over because my LSU license plate, my alumni.
Exposed you as a felon?
No, it was the rim. The license plate was covering part of the Texas part of the plate that says, because the Texas plate. And so I got pulled over for that. Is that a real rule?
I'm sure on a technicality, yeah, they can get you for that. Was it your rear plate or your?
Yeah, my rear plate. It says, you know, it's like alum, and it says LSU Tigers, and the rim, and I and
probably it partially covers the state though.
It partially covered the state, and that's why the police officer pulled me over, and I didn't know if that was a real thing or not.
He probably thought you were hammered, like, oh, there's Mardi Gras Brian.
Yeah.
I got him. Does a police officer, is he more inclined to?
I got a warning. No, I didn't get a ticket. But,
right.
But I just was curious if that's a real deal.
I wonder if a police officer is more likely to pull over the LSU plate or the Georgia plate with the run that they've been on over the last 4 or 5 years, you know?
Yeah.
Those Georgia plates will probably be big time, blinking light. 682, you were right there, Dawson. It was almost a home run, but you ran out of gash.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
817's eating gash potatoes right now for dinner. And Bobby texted in and said he's trying to have your back on this one the same way I am, Dawson.
Thank you.
He says pair him with Jake Berger and make it smashing gash.
See, that's marketing gold right there. Yeah, I could see like a Smash Brothers.
And then in parentheses next to gash, you can just have Higashioka for the 100% of people that won't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. If you
there's
can't
ways to make
connect
this
the dots. I'd be happy to have a nickname like that.
Everybody knows
a slang term for the female bodies.
No way. Yeah,
you're a legend at that point.
You are. Okay, let's do a little March Madness here, and let's go ahead and begin with something that I think is pretty incredible. Advanced Analytics, Scott Cross, head coach of Troy. Listen to him explain his recruiting tactic in the small town of wherever the hell Troy is.
For a town of 15,000 when school's not in town, so you can imagine you got one Waffle House per 5,000 people, so probably most per capita anywhere in the country. But started off, the first two recruits I brought on campus were driving down the main street. I point out Waffle House, ask them if they want to eat there for breakfast, and they were like, Waffle House? Hell no, I don't want to go to Waffle House. I'm like, okay, my bad. You know, we'll try and eat somewhere else. Long story short, we signed neither one of those guys. Then we brought a guy named Nick Stampley, who's an OKG, our kind of guy. He was our third recruit to visit. We're driving by. We don't even say anything about Waffle House. He sees it. He's like, oh, coach, y'all got a Waffle House here? Can we go there tomorrow? He was our first signee. He was one of the toughest guys we've ever coached. And from that point forward, we just kind of offhand ask him, do you like Waffle House? If the answer is yes, it's like, we sign them. If it's no, we never get them. So I told my staff, I was like, hey, y'all can save a lot of time and money. First phone conversation, in passing, ask them, do they like Waffle House or not?
Wow, I like that. You got to feed Alabama everything through a Waffle House filter. We'll start recruiting after we know their answers to this question. You think there's anything to it?
That's tried and true right there. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there is. Clearly for him, the proof is in the pudding right now. Yeah. We'll see how long this can last for him. But yeah, I mean, if you're going to turn your nose up at Waffle House, even if you're somebody that's never, like, if you're on a recruiting trip like that, and you don't even know what Waffle House is, and they ask you about it, you're like, you know, I don't know, but I'm interested.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you be interested in Waffle House if you had never experienced it? It's like a house of waffles. What could really go wrong here?
There's like recruiting trips you go on that you're so hungover the next day that going to Waffle House is like the best thing in the world. Like that, you know, the food, the grease intake kind of gets you back on the right track.
What if that was the recruit's response? Oh, hell yeah, coach. That's my ideal hangover cure spot.
Yeah.
Oh, hangover cure. Well, we got to look into the drinking a little bit, you know? Is this your one drinking weekend a month, a year, or is this regular?
So there's one recruiting tactic. I like what Mark Pope's doing at Kentucky right now. Mark Pope wants to see the Kentucky fan base show up in a big way, take over Milwaukee, 7-hour drive from Lexington for round one of the tourney. Says, if anybody's having trouble with gas money, hit me up. Let's go. Let's get all of BBN out there. And Mark Pope
says, he's throwing you Cash App money for your gas if you need to get there?
Yeah, I guess so. That's what he was alleging. And he said a whole slew of requests for gas money have already been coming in, including from a college student in Florida named Jack. And he says, that was not a good call on my part. Gas money for Milwaukee. This is not going to go well. So Kentucky fans are taking him up on this. And I don't know. I mean, you gotta come correct if you're going to put that out there, if you're going to be a man of integrity and honesty.
I think so, yeah. I mean, you got to be holding on to at least a $20,000 or $30,000 budget if you're going to throw something out like that on social media. People are coming for that money, you know, and you don't want to, you can look like you're trying to flex and then end up looking like a brokey. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. Gash wouldn't stand for that.
No.
I like what Iowa State did. Iowa State trying to circumvent the seeding in the tournament. Iowa State's pretty dang awesome, too. They're a sneaky team. If you're doing a bunch of brackets, maybe have one where the Cyclones are making some serious
noise. How healthy
noise.
Are they?
Well, that's part of their deal here. They're going to be facing Lipscomb in round one, so that should be an easy victory for them. They're not going to have to face number one overall team Auburn until the round of eight, given their three seed status. Their path instead will likely run through the two seed Michigan State. As it turns out, Iowa State's NCAA tournament path might have looked much different had they not withheld key information on Selection Sunday. And they could have dropped a few seeds because one of their best players, maybe their single best player, their guard, Keyshawn Gilbert, missed four of the team's final seven games with a groin injury. But everybody was assuming he was going to return for the NCAA tournament. But they knew behind closed doors he was not going to. But they didn't want that to be revealed because that would have probably knocked them down a few seeds, had a tougher run. So they withheld that information about their best player's health status. And then shortly after the field was set, they announced and made to the public that their best player was going to be out for the tournament.
Genius. So,
it is genius. Yeah. I mean, good on them for doing it.
I mean, you know they care because Duke had to tell them, yes, Cooper Flagg is going to play. Trust us, he's fine.
Yes. Oh, you know? No, they absolutely care about this. If the committee would have known that Iowa State, one of their best players, was going to continue to be out, there's almost no chance they would have still been a three seed. I don't know how far they would have fallen, but anywhere from, you go from 3 to 5, 3 to 6, yep, 3 to 7, that makes it a much tougher out if you're trying to make a run. Now it's going to be tough anyways because you are still without that player.
If you're not one of the, you know, certified legendary programs, you got to play it almost like it's you against the committee. You know, they're looking for any reason to be downgrade you, to take you out of maybe a seed that you deserve or out of a tournament you deserve for a team like UNC, who they know is going to get better TV ratings.
Has this popped up in y'all's timeline at all? McNeese's student manager has a boombox. They nicknamed him Aura,
yeah,
and he now has multiple NIL deals as the Cowboys head to the NCAA tournament.
We're going to logo up that boombox, get some marketing opportunities going. I like it.
The clips of this kid are pretty awesome.
Nah,
aren't
he got
they?
The whole team behind his back right there.
He does.
He leads,
dude,
the whole squad.
He does. He leads from the front with a boombox. The whole team's behind him, and that's how they make their entrance onto the hardwood before tip-off. And apparently his playlist is just top tier, hitting all the right notes.
He's the team manager?
He's the team manager. He looks every bit like a team manager might look. And
I do wish it was the radio edits on the song, though.
Yeah.
I will say that because, boy, it's kind of vulgar coming out.
It is. And he's rapping or singing along to every lyric, as are the players. But it's getting him going. And I believe they've won like a ridiculous amount of games here as of late. They're on a heater right now, and he's getting a lot of credit for it. So now McNeese State's student manager has signed NIL deals with B-Dubs, Tick Pick, and Insomnia Cookies.
Insomnia Cookies?
Not familiar?
No.
I would like to think it's still open in Denton, like right there off Fry Street. We used to hit it. It was like a late night cookie spot that you could go to.
Yeah.
And they're awesome. I mean, hot and
just
ready,
a regular cookie
midnight
spot?
Cookies. Yeah, yeah. I think they get pretty creative with some of that stuff. But I would like to think it's still there on Fry Street. I know it was whenever I was in school.
Their basketball coach used to be at LSU, Will Wade. Like everywhere he's been,
he's a beast.
He everywhere he's been, he's won. But he's one of these guys that he was paying the players before NIL, and that's what got him let go at LSU. Wish we still had the guy. But yeah, he's up for the North Carolina State job. So this might be his swan song for with McNeese.
Swan songs one of the best songs out there if you can get it.
Man, between these insomnia cookies and the Waffle House, I am ready for dinner. I'll tell you that much.
Okay, well, I'm about to take it up a notch.
Maybe some French toast.
Beer and wing sales expected to soar during the NCAA tournament. We know
it usually is.
We know cheeseburger sales are going to be up thanks to our broadcast location on Friday for tournament action day two in Euless. Cold beers and cheeseburgers. Kansas is going to be there from 10 to 2. We take over 2 to 7 all day basketball, booze, and burgers.
They have some great wings there.
They do.
Cold beers and cheeseburgers. Yeah. They have some great mac and cheese dishes.
Yes, they do.
You know, what do you want with your mac and cheese? They make it there at Cold Beer and Cheeseburgers. Looking forward to it.
According to Wallet Hub, beer sales are expected to jump 19% this week. And wing sales are expected to increase by 23%. Roughly 2.3 billion wings are expected to be eaten by fans watching the games.
Man, that's a lot of chicken.
That is. That's awesome, dude. That's, I mean, that's really what this time of year is about. This is as American as it gets, and it's good for your local businesses. Cleaning up.
Yeah.
Put a TV up. Fry up some wings.
Put a sign out there.
Put some cold beers in there. Everybody take off work. And go celebrate, man. So America's doing it right. We'll see if those numbers hit. 940 says Insomnia Cookies still thriving. Long live Fry Street.
Well, that's good to know. It looks like they'll deliver you cookies all the way till 3 a.m., which is fantastic. I'd love that. I don't know why I've never had them, you know, but I think everything that that all the competitors are doing out there in the cookie world is awesome. It's raising the bar of like the you know, the perfect scientifically crafted cookies. But on the Waffle House, I was wondering if you're recruiting and somebody doesn't like Waffle House, what's that say about them? You know, they think they're too good for Waffle House.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely, it is.
Yeah. Either
that's the implication.
You're not tough enough. You've heard the stories about a Waffle House late night brawl, and you want no part of it because you're soft.
You're stricken with fear.
I think Eric's onto something, man. If you've never been to a Waffle House, you always hear about Waffle House. You got to go try it, right?
Oh yeah.
You got to be excited about. Yeah, sure. I'll go have, you know.
100%.
Yeah.
And in a small town like that, you know the Waffle House has a big imprint on the community.
Yeah.
And so you have to have a response ready to not be disrespectful.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
And that goes a long way. I think the toughness factor is real about that. I mean, you're a tough SOB if you're hanging around a Waffle House from time to time.
You're a big
cigarette smoke blown in your face.
Right? Yeah. You're a big five-star recruit. You want to be wined and dined.
Yeah.
Maybe go to some fancy brunch somewhere.
Yeah. Why are you at Troy?
Well, thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir.
A March Madness sports hodgepodge for you on a Tuesday night here in the G-Bag Nation. We're going to see what Fred and Blake have cooking for you. Only a 30-minute fan after dark tonight, so get it while you can. Get it while it's hot. Rangers baseball is coming up with the pregame at 7:30, first pitch at 8 o'clock. Some Cactus League action. Thought you'd appreciate it. And we're back with all that here on The Fan. Thank you very much, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan, about to hand it off to The Fan After Dark. They've got a full 30-minute show here before the Rangers pregame with Fred and Blake here. Gentlemen, good evening. How the heck are you?
Not a light 30, a full 30. 30 for 30, freestyle, Kendrick Lamar, SZA. That's what's going to happen on our program. Mm. I'm going to kick Fred off. I told him not to show up today so that me and Brian can just nerd out, talk NFL draft.
Y'all can nerd out all you want. I mean, I'll take us in, and then that'll be the end of it. So if you guys want to sit there and talk draft, but by all means, Luther Burden, let's go.
Take a san? A zan?
What's that?
What'd you say? You're going to take a what?
No, I said I'll take us in and out, and then,
take you in and out.
Let them do what they want to do. You know, if y'all want
to you can be the text message reader.
I'll be the text message reader. If that's what you want me to do, I'll be the text message reader. So, because I may not be here Thursday, is all I'm saying. Since we got another Thursday show.
Oh,
or 30-minute show. KU plays at 6:10.
Okay.
KU plays at 6:10. And
KU's out of the tournament by 8:10.
I'm a little nervous. I'll just put you like this. My heart says we win, and I'll just leave it at that.
Did you fill out your bracket yet? Or are we doing that tomorrow?
No, we'll do that tomorrow.
Okay. Is that peak a sports disappointment in Fred's world when Kansas goes out first round?
Man, I tell you what, it's been so
Bucknell.
Unfortunate, man.
Lehigh.
Mm. Lehigh.
Did Lehigh get in one time?
No.
Virginia. Did Virginia get?
No. VCU beat us a few years back when we should have been a Final Four team. But the Bucknell loss was especially tough because I had just gotten to KU. And they thought they had a 3 seed that year. And then I went out and the debauchery that night was second to none.
I bet it was
second to none. I, you know,
it you was, take out your frustration on some freshman.
Let's just put it this way: there was enough drugs done that night to kill maybe a small person.
Wow!
Wow!
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
small person.
Maybe a black bear.
Maybe you bl-
were
well.
You, were you acting like that Michigan
cocaine
baseball
bear? Maybe
player?
What's that?
Acting like the Michigan baseball player?
I was acting like Diego Maradona that night. Yeah.
I don't get that reference.
Well, you
maybe
don't.
Len Bias there to keep it college basketball, but keeping it college.
But
hoop,
I didn't die though.
No, that
I
was,
didn't die.
That
That's
was,
the key.
Thankfully,
that's the key.
Cooper Flagg, how good is an NBA player?
I think he's gonna be really good. I mean, now
he's got the stock of if the Mavs get Cooper Flagg, not all is forgiven, but the blow is softened a lot. Like
yes.
People lose Cooper Flagg will be like top 10 in like a year or two.
I give him two or three years.
I don't have that big of aspirations on Cooper Flagg, but I'd also be lying if I said I watched every single one of his games. I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
I'm not there yet with Cooper. But
no, Cooper's legit.
I'm thinking like a really, really good player. What's that, Brian?
No, I was just looking. Lehigh beat Duke, who was the second seed.
there you go.
Yeah.
That happened
that
once.
Yeah.
I remember the Lehigh upset.
That was in 2012. I was just curious.
Lehigh as hell.
Jeez. Beat Duke. God dang it.
Dude, Flagg's going to be awesome, though. Two-way player.
Yeah, imagine losing to Lehigh if you're Duke and you're the second seed.
Duke's probably fine in the first weekend without him, right? Their team's stacked enough.
No, he'll play. They say he'll be ready.
You think he'll play?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I don't think he's going to play a lot. I figure first game, he'll probably play, probably first half, a little bit. I mean, you don't need to overdo it round one. So you can get through the first weekend without him. I mean, hell, you won the ACC without him. So I think they can get through him the first weekend. They're going to need him in weekends, from that point on, though. But I like Cooper Flagg. Kid can shoot. He's, what is he, 6'8", 6'9"?
Yeah. Rebounds his tail off. Great defender.
White LeBron-ish. I said this on the show. He's white LeBron-ish. What's the last white dude we've seen do what he does? Just saying. And by the way, we haven't seen an American white guy go number one. You guys ready for this? Remember the last time?
Pete Maravich.
Wrong.
Last.
Zion Williamson.
Adam Morrison.
1977. Your boy Bill Walton was 74. Buckles from the Milwaukee Bucks was in 1977.
Because they're awesome white.
No, I don't know. I had his name. I had his name the other day. But bottom line is it's been almost 50
years. Kit Benson?
That might be it. Yes.
I think you're kind of looking at a Brandon Ingram type player.
Yeah, oh, he's better. He's
Kit
oh,
Benson,
no, no. He's 10 times
over
better.
Over under 3.5 All-Star games.
Cooper over. Flagg. Over. Take
I'm
the
telling
over.
You, he thinks he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Last white guy to go first round. How do you do that?
What's that?
Type it in ChatGPT.
He's white.
Dawson, pull that up. You get the GP
last,
up.
Last
you
white
following,
guy.
You following Outkick or something right now? What's going on?
Hold on. I don't know. You don't have it on my phone.
Okay,
what are we looking up here?
It's Kit Benson.
I'm looking
last American white male drafted number
Kit
one
Benson.
Overall.
That's correct. That's correct.
That.
1977.
Yeah.
So there History. You go. You're right. He went to Indiana, but he got drafted by the Bucks, is what it was. So that's what I was getting confused with.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
we
so 1977.
We got to make that
so 48
all about it, dude.
Years.
That's
man.
What we're going to have to do leading up to this draft. That's got to be the big storyline.
There you go.
It's like, I mean, a black coach in a Super Bowl, black quarterback in a Super Bowl.
Non-American
this
born.
Is, this
but
is
the
our
last,
version of that.
But the last Caucasian person to go number one, 2005, Andrew Bogut. But
okay.
Born in Australia.
Australian guy.
Australian cat. And yeah, it's. Serviceable NBA career.
So how are you guys going to fill up this whole 30 minutes?
It's a great question.
Draft talk, pretty much.
There you go.
And, we're going to figure out the perfect way that the Dallas Cowboys are going to figure out this draft. I think Brian's got some questions for me. I've got some for him.
We worried about Anthony lines. Davis golfing, by the way. Are we worried about that?
Wait, you, no. What you need
That's
to
great.
Do.
That's
you
a good
to,
sign.
It
to,
is, right?
You need yeah, to okay. confirm with Broadus. Broadus, are you staying around?
Yeah, I'll stay around. I got to get my gear back out.
Well, here it comes, the Fan After Dark with Fred and Blake and Broadus. Thanks to Lucius Alexander in the Pimp Cup at Master Control and Eric Chiafalo, Brian Broadus. I'm Gavin Dawson. Till tomorrow at 2, you're going home with the G-Bag Nation, Eddies.